So Jesus was saying he limited himself to human flesh, but paid attention to heaven. What are we doing? Oh, okay, make mud and put it on the guy. Oh, that's how we're doing it today. It wasn't a whim. He was seeing it in heaven. He knew Zacchaeus by name. Why? Probably his morning prayer time. You're going to see a little bitty guy. Little bitty guy in a tree. He called him by name. He knew stuff ahead. That's word of knowledge. That's all word of knowledge is. We release words. Word of knowledge is a secret that no one knows but you and God. Some of you, that's one of my two gifts, Lori's discerning spirit and seeing. I'm more word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You all have gifts, and some will be your forte. You know, you can move in line, okay? But some will be your forte depending on your calling, okay? But I'm releasing right now in the spirit. See, God taught me how to work in word of knowledge because I asked him, because I was healed. I was at a meeting. I was actually battling the flu, and the weirdest lady you ever saw in your life, a bunch of intercessors, they were loud. They were like yelling intercessors. And I was like, this is a little weird. And this lady, this was back in the 80s when women had those bows, you know, I always hated that. And she had a bow, and this bow was like in my face, you know. And I think they were casting stuff out of me. And she said, did you fall off a horse when you were a kid? Now, up to that moment, I thought, these people are nuts, honestly. When she said that, I'm like, now you have my attention. She said, is there something wrong with your back? Well, there was. She said, did you fall off a horse when you were a kid? Well, now I'm like, lady, you can do anything you want. That's God. So when I was 15, I was on a horse and the girt broke, the thing that ties it. The whole saddle and me came off and I landed wrong. I landed on my tailbone and my back healed crooked. It was not visible and I didn't walk crooked, but I knew it. My tailbone was 2 inches off to the right. No one, not even my parents, knew that. Because when I was a kid, I would never tell them stuff because I would get dragged to the hospital. And, you know, for some reason, I always had more black eyes than anybody. I fell a lot. And you know, when they want to get x-ray for your black eye, you know what they do? They take your black eye and they go, bonk. You know? So I'm like, I am not doing that again. So I wouldn't tell my parents. They just, you know, I let it heal wrong. Not that they could have done anything with it. You know, it's a slight fracture. So she said, may I pray with you? Yes, yes, you may. Hallelujah. See, I'd never seen anything like this. She didn't even pray. You know what she did? She touched my shoulder and said, Jesus, I didn't feel anything. There was no tingling, no thunder, no lightning, no heat. But I went upstairs and checked, and my tailbone was 100% straight as an arrow, smack in the center. And I was amazed. I was more amazed at the secret. I mean, the healing. Because when God tells a secret, it gives you instant faith. You know he's already on the scene to heal it. He's telling it for a reason. And one day I said, God, I didn't understand then that God, he desires all of us to use the gifts because it shows him off. The gifts cause people to want him. When you go to somebody on the street and you say, listen, excuse me, but I feel like God is saying this to you. They're like, I want that God because nobody knew that. Nobody valued me and God valued me. That's what draws people to God, is the gifts of the Spirit. God wants all of you to operate accurately and regularly in the gifts of the Spirit. So I was reading my Bible and I didn't know that yet. And I said, God, if it would be okay with you, I'd like to help people the way that lady helped me. And one day, a Pentecostal lady, had never been around Pentecostal ladies before, she had been diagnosed with lupus, and she was not doing well, and they really didn't have a cure. But she said, I'm supposed to pray for you. And I said, okay. And she prayed a little bit in tongues, and I saw a picture. Now, often word of knowledge is like this. It was a picture of two hands. It's a picture sometimes. I saw two hands on somebody's back, and I was so ignorant, I didn't know it meant put your hands on her back. And then, you know, about three times I went, oh, well, I'd never laid hands on anybody. I said, Penny, would it be okay if I lay hands? Oh, yeah, they did that all the time at their church. I walked around behind her. I put my hands right where he said, and I saw another picture. Okay, I did that. I saw a third picture. I did that. And I saw something in the spirit looked like an owl go and leave. And she was 100% healed of lupus. Now, was I in faith? No, I was clueless. That was, see, faith in the Word will heal people. Faith will heal, the Word can heal you if nobody lays hands on you. So just rely on the gifts. But what happened there? God was giving me, I was helping somebody like I asked. I'm saying that because I'm releasing today. I feel like to release all that I have. You know, if you know how to pull in your receiver, start pulling. God wants to use you to help people. But more than anything, not just to help people, but to draw people to Jesus. To draw people to Jesus. God made me get out of the car one time. I was over at Wheaton College, which is a very Christian college, but very proper. I'll say it that way. We love Wheaton College. That's where Billy Graham came from. And I grew up in Wheaton, partially. And God makes me pull over. And there's this girl, probably a freshman or sophomore young girl. He said, I want you to tell her about her calling. And I'm thinking, okay, hallelujah. So I parked the car, chased her down. And I said, sweetie, I just feel like God wants me to tell you this. Giant tears come out of her face. She's been crying out to God about a decision. What, you know, to this day, she's probably never forgotten the day some lady, some totally strange lady pulled off the car. You see, I've never forgot. I wouldn't know that lady that got me healed. I wouldn't know if I saw her. I've never seen her before since, don't know her name. But you know, I tell her story everywhere I go. See, God wants you, and it's not just word of knowledge, but the gifts of the Spirit are for us, and they're for us to help one another and to pull the lost into the kingdom. It's one of the best ways to witness. We raised up people. The reason I want you to know this is for every believer. Every believer. We had a woman come to us, and she was evangelist, and she would always say that she just, I just don't hear from God. I'm just not that sort of person. I just don't. She knew the Word, and she was a wonderful evangelist. And one day, God, she actually had a vision. And Jesus spoke to her and said, I'm going to teach you how to evangelize by the Spirit. Now, she'd been sitting in our meetings for many years. She and a friend, they would sit up, they would go late at night, like they'd start about 11. Because, you know, some of the people that have problems, they're out at night, right? People who need God are out in the middle of the night. And they would sit together and they would say, show us something. And God would show them a picture, maybe give them a word. And they would go find the person and bring them to the Lord. God would tell them what to say. One night, they saw a picture of bright lights in the sky. They heard the word Harvard. And they saw a guy in a cowboy outfit. And they said, what does that mean? They said, well, there's a town called Harvard, and they do have an all-night gas station that has bright lights. We'll go wait there. So they go and they wait there. And they wait and they wait, and pretty soon here comes a car full of young men, and they're very inebriated. And one guy gets out, and he's got a cowboy outfit and the boots, and she goes, that's the guy. They lead him to Christ. He says, wait a minute, stay here, I got to go with my brother. He's a drug addict. Stay right here. They go get the brother. These are gang members. See, God had a target. They started to do evangelism by the Spirit. She would tell stories. God gave her a song from the 50s and sent her to the Walgreens. She sees what they used to call it, the mark. And I'm not an evangelist, but I saw the gifts of the Spirit and the flow of the Spirit is for whatever you're called to do. If you're called to be a mom, it will make you a better mom, because when your kid's in trouble, you just go, excuse me, Holy Ghost, what are we doing? You're doing this. Don't do that, do this. If you're working a job, you say, how do I solve this problem? Don't do this, do that. Oh, okay, that'll fix it. It's for whatever you need, he will help you, because he knows everything. He created your eyeballs. He created the atoms in your body. He knows everything. When I used to be a programmer, I remember having a problem. I could usually solve most anything, but I remember having a problem that was so knotty, it didn't matter what solution you threw. There was just, I couldn't do it. I tried and tried, and finally I said, you know what? You know and I don't. And I went out and sat in the car at my lunch hour and just closed my eyes and rested. When you enter a state of rest, and just rest, God can talk to your spirit. And I can't say he spoke or I heard. I just suddenly went, oh, yeah, that'll work. And it was a terrific problem nobody could solve. And I went in, did what he gave me, the thought he gave me. It solved the problem, and everybody thought I was smart. Fool them. But the point is, if you learn the walk of the Spirit, which means getting to know him, living with him, everywhere you go, you're never alone. Don't ever be lonely. You are never alone. You're never alone. And he always actually wants to help you, and he talks simply. He'll come right to your level and teach. He'll come right to where you're at. He's so sweet. He'll help you. He'll never condemn you. There's some stuff I've had to say 50 times. Could you explain that again? I still don't get it. And he'll say, well, how about this way? Let's try this. And he'll explain it a different way. You know, and he'll explain it till I get it. Never gets impatient. He's not like us. Never gets impatient. But this particular lifestyle we call being led by the Spirit or best friends with the Holy Ghost is for every person in every calling, great or small, doesn't matter. And that's what we want for you. And we want it to be the new norm. And I'm just going to say this. I hope it's okay that I'm saying this. But I've always believed that anybody could do this. And I would teach my little heart out. And most people would go, that's nice, but really we just want you to do it. That's nice, but you know, that sounds like work. So we'll just let you do it. And when we're in trouble, we'll come to you. Well, hallelujah, that's okay, but you never go any further. But when Lori came, she'd never heard any of this stuff. She literally saw Jesus in the meeting, right? You saw him. And she was like, I want whatever this is, I want this. And when I would say, ask the question of your heart, she would get in the car and she would say, God, is that true? What she said, is that true? And she started to fellowship with God, you know, just like a child speaks to their father. And she started to ask all kinds of questions. And now I can hardly keep up with her. You can see, sorry, but I'm just saying, she outdid me. And I'm so happy because that, I feel like saying, that's proof, every one of us, if we would just do it. Somebody had, one of our friends was praying, and they had a vision, and they saw, and it's going to sound like a little bit of an unusual one, but they saw one of those little toys with a rubber band and a propeller where you go, and the thing goes flying. Something like that, except it was one of those propeller things, I think. And they said, Holly teaches one thing, and Lori teaches another, and it causes the thing to fly. But we're seeing people are so fascinated by the rubber band and the propeller, they're not wanting to do it. And I'm like, I know exactly what that means. You can come and receive and go home, or you can take it and go do it. And God really wants you. I actually believe I'm supposed to raise up people that will be way better than me, way smarter than me, way more powerful than me. God said to me one day, do you want to be John G. Lake or do you want to raise up 1,000? Raise up 1,000. And so that is the desire of our heart, to raise up people who are deeply committed to God. So I just wanted to share that so you could understand kind of where we're coming from and what I believe God has for you. But I believe we're supposed to switch gears into a little bit of seeing. So we're going to do some immersion, which means we're just going to listen to God. I asked Lori to help me with this part because we've asked for months, really, that every single person receive every single thing that they need, that they're crying out for, whether it's emotional healing or physical healing. So I'm going to ask you to stand and kind of help me out. So I see someone with heart trouble. And this I actually believe is physical. I heard arrhythmia. I saw like an irregular heartbeat, and it kind of comes. And when it comes, it's actually scary because it's very rapid. And God says, I'm repacing the way your heart beats. He's actually doing a physical change in your heart. You will feel it, know a difference. And I just want to share with you, we've had many, many people healed just by the gifts. And so we're just going to release both physical and emotional stuff. So I'm just going to grab a drink, so go ahead.
I saw the days blend together, but I saw this the other day, whatever day it was, and I didn't release it because the time, you know, there's some things that you see, but it's not yet to be released. In fact, an example of that would have been yesterday with you. And you remember we were talking, and you were like, you know, I'm ready, I want, and I listen. And oftentimes I hear, but you don't release it until. And remember the Lord said what he said? And it was like the key? I'm not going into it because it's personal. But if we wait and deliver the word in season, it's always fresh. And so what I'm saying is, 2 days ago, I think it was 2 days ago, I saw somebody, I'm trying to find you. I don't see you in here. Well, I'm still going to release it. And it's for other people.
What? They could be on the
floor. Oh, okay. Actually, it's for more than one person. But I saw somebody in here who is struggling with sluggish kidneys. And the Lord is healing you right now. He's been slowly, I've been watching this in the spirit. He's slowly been reversing and changing the chemicals in your body. There's been a buildup and it's been sluggish. And the Lord is healing your kidneys right now.
There's someone in here, you're called of God and you've operated in God and you kind of know, you know the stuff. You already know what we're talking about. You're already there. But lately you've had a weakness or a fatigue, and it's slowed you down in serving God the way you were used to. And I'm not sure if that's age or what that is, but I saw this almost like, oh, just fatiguing. And I saw God lift something off of you. He lifted fatigue off of you. I'm not sure if it was a spirit, but I saw him lift it off, and he said, never again. You will speak with the wind of God, and you will speak with the force of God and the energy of God. And I actually see increased from when it was in your youth, because you have a lot to say. And God says, I'm not done talking to you. So I will release the wind of the Spirit when you open your mouth, and I'll release it with the anointing, and I'll release it with power. So don't be shy. And I saw that you kind of, fatigue had been a part of your life for long enough that you were almost like, oh, you know, if I could only have the energy. And I felt like he said, I'm going to energize you, and I'm going to do it for a long time to come. I am not done. I am not done. I saw a picture of, it reminded me of a railroad track, but instead of the train, it was one of the old things that went like this. But in these days, they have a truck that does that, and it goes along to inspect the tracks. And I saw that you're that person, but somehow your truck had gotten a little off the track. And you just, you love God with all your heart, but you just didn't know how to quite get back on track. And I saw God just pick it up and put it right back on, just spot on the rails. And I saw you take off for God. And whoever you are, you're already familiar with the parable, so you know it's you.
I heard the word hand tremors. And I saw it's the right hand. Somebody has an issue with their right hand, and there's a clamp. There's a it's a little dark clamp inside your arm that it was put in there by the enemy. And right now, I command that to come out, and I command healing and full mobility in your hand.
Yeah,
amen.
I saw a person here. You're called of God as a minister, but. You have been really frustrated because the church that you attend or attended just could never recognize that and would never acknowledge that. And so what happened is you kind of took on a frustration. I don't know if you're still in church or not, but I want to share this with you. For many years, I sat in a church knowing I was called and knowing I would never be able to minister in that church. And yet I knew I was called to be there and sit under that man and learn that stuff. And here's something I learned. It is not the person or the church that holds us back. We are not ready. And so when God told me, he said, when you're ready, he said, I want to use you more than you want to be used. I want to use you more than you want to be used. You get ready and I'll deal with it. You get yourself ready and I'll deal with it. And he did. And so God is saying to you, don't worry about what people think. See, people cannot see the gifting in you unless God reveals it. So your problem isn't with them. Your problem is God has not released it. But he wants to. But there's some things, and it's not about, again, it's not about works, but we have to position ourselves. And part of that is becoming a servant of God and a servant of the body of Christ. Ministry is never about being a hotshot or able or even anointed. There's a lot of anointed turkeys. I'm just saying it. There's a lot of people in the body who go, I mean, I met a guy that was just flat out mean. I'm talking about mean. He had a spirit of meanness. But he could deliver accurate words, and then he would tell you who's more anointed. Actually, he spoke to a man I know, an anointed man, said, who's more anointed, you or me? I thought, good grief. That's how deluded. Now, were those words accurate? Yeah, because he understood the system. You understand? He understood the system, how to hear from God, but he had not submitted his life to God. He had not submitted his heart to God. He had not come to a place. See, If you're going to be a minister, I'm just saying this, your job is to die for the people while they're piercing your hand. You know, this is interesting. If any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You know, you can't even crucify yourself. People have to do it. Come on. You have to have help to kill yourself. So if somebody doesn't like you or doesn't recognize you, ask God to show you what's holding me back. Is it my attitude? Am I a hotshot? Am I unkind? Is there stuff you're trying to show me? And he's gentle and he's kind, but he wants to, you know, we have to be transformed to minister properly. And we have to come to a place where it's not about our deal. It's about his deal. It's not our ministry. It's his ministry and his beloved children who you may or may not like. Be called to minister to people you don't like, but you got to love them. You know why? That's his baby. That's his baby. And he cares. Your job is to meet them where they're at and help them and shut up. I'm just telling you. Ministry is it's not always easy. People think it's such a hot thing. Let me tell you, it's a lot of work. And it's a lot of making yourself low so Jesus Christ can walk over you. That's what it is. I didn't mean to go on there. I'm just saying.
That's good. That's good. I see, I'm asking the Lord to give me the way to say this. Sometimes I see what's going on, but I don't have the words to match. And I'm seeing into a few households where there's a lot of disorder and chaos. And there's just a lot of demonic activity in the house. And I feel like the Lord is going to highlight that, if that's you. I'm not going to point you out. I feel like he's actually pushing on your heart right now. To recognize you've justified why you've kept things the way they are, but really you're submitting to the enemy who is trying to rule your house, and the Lord is exposing that tonight so that there can be right order, because we're coming into a day where I'm actually seeing, as I'm speaking this, cargo being thrown off the ship. It's dead weight, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but God has called you, and I'm not saying throw your family overboard, but I'm saying throw the demons out.
Yeah, that's actually a confirmation, because a few days ago, the Lord spoke to me that there were some marriages that were in trouble, and he gave me the scripture that where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. And you know, strife is something you can allow or not allow. It's a choice. It's a choice. And when you have strife, whether it's in a ministry or in a church or in a family or in a home, it is an open, that's a system. It's an open door for every evil work. And you can choose not to allow strife. You know, and it's hard for someone to argue with somebody who won't argue.
Amen.
And if each of us, here's how you do it. I'm just going to tell you how to do it. You'll have, go to God and get his help, get the grace. But each of us need to be Jesus to the other one. And that doesn't mean you preach at your spouse how they're supposed to be. It means you love them. You negotiate, you don't argue. You help them become who they are. And you take the lower place. You know, you just do. You work together, not against each other. You're on the same side. Your enemy is the devil, not each other. Your enemy is the devil. He is trying to bust it up. And it would glorify him if it busted up. But there's been open doors and there's been attacks. But the reason is, I see some financial attacks and other type of attacks, but it's because strife became the norm. You know, it became okay to argue and have strife and bite each other, bite and devour each other with words. You know, but there's a different way to do it, where you just, you know, just say, you know what, if you disagree, that's okay. It's okay to disagree. Say, you know what, let's go pray. Let's both just go pray. And let's try to figure out what God is saying. God has so much for you. But strife is letting the enemy, and I feel like it can be damaging your children. So if you won't do it for yourself and you won't do it for your spouse, do it for your children. Hallelujah. I saw someone with headaches, and this isn't just due to the altitude. This is something you've had for a long time. You've had headaches, and I saw God healing your head and your neck. I saw like alignment and almost like a, you know, God is my chiropractor, God is your chiropractor. I saw him adjusting something and releasing you. There's someone in here, you've had headaches for years, and you've kind of learned to live with it, and you've learned kind of what eases it, but God is saying no more. And I feel like he is healing you once and for all, once and for all, once and for all.
I'm seeing a stomach disorder. And as I'm looking and praying on it and asking the Lord about it, it's an imbalance in the intestine tract that is causing problems in the stomach. And right now I just command right order in your stomach and intestines. And this is from, I heard seven people. So I was going to say more than one, but he said seven. So this is for seven people. God is healing you right now in your stomach area.
And I want to add to that, one of those people, you've had some of your stomach issues have come from stress. And stress has had an inroad in your life. And God is wanting to release you from stress and teach you a lifestyle of rest. Now, there's a lifestyle of rest where your trust, it is a trust issue. Stress comes because we're worried about how things are going to turn out. And God wants you to get to know him so well that you know that even if you make a mistake, even if you zig when you should have zagged, he will fix it. He's smart enough. He's big enough. And he loves you enough. As long as you keep your heart right. And when you grow to trust him, you can enter a state of rest and live there where you don't have to stress about anything. You don't have to worry. You never have to worry. Because as you grow to trust him, and know, you know, I can't tell you the number of times I've blown it or made a mistake or gone the wrong way. Whoops, I meant well. I got a good heart. Oops. But here's what I know about my Father. He's bigger than that. And he loves me. You know, he's not a dad who beats you up. He says, here, let me help you. Here, let me help you. And he's not impatient. So he wants you to get to know that you can entrust your kid to him or whatever that thing is that you tend to stress about. And some people just have stress as a lifestyle. God spoke to me once and said, some people, anxiety is such a lifestyle that if they didn't have something to worry about, they would literally worry that there was something they should be worrying about because it's become such a norm for them. But he said, I want to deliver you today. And I actually saw him. I saw in the mind like someone has erratic thinking, like these strings of, you know, that were tangly. And I saw him just pull that right out. You know, God can heal the mind. We had a woman in St. Charles, Illinois. I gave a word about someone's mind being healed. And a woman, I didn't know there was a woman sitting there that had been diagnosed with mental illness. She'd spent years having problems. God healed her mind that day. She's been authoring books ever since. Her mind is healed. See, God can do anything.
In an instant.
In fact, I just feel like I'm going to have you all say, Lord, I give my mind to you.
Lord, I give my mind to you.
I ask you to straighten out my thinking.
I ask you to straighten out my thinking.
Remove stress far from me.
Remove stress far from me.
Remove wrong thinking far from me.
Remove wrong thinking far from me.
Teach me how to trust in you.
Teach me how to trust in you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I feel like he's lingering on this trust issue. Trusting God comes as you get to know him. You know, when you're younger in God, you worry, he tells you to do something, or you worry that maybe he's, you know, what about this, and what, and you worry. And then you see how he fixes it. You have a testimony. Well, after that happens enough time, you know. You don't know how he'll do it, but you know he'll do it. You come to know God is good and you can trust him. You come to know God is good, and you can trust Him. And that's a journey. But God is saying, I want to teach you that I'm good for it. When I give you my word, I'm good for it. And sometimes I do test you. Sometimes there are circumstances that seem impossible because I want you to see my power. I want you to see how big I am. And I want to grow you in your understanding of my goodness. I want to grow you in the understanding that I always have your best interest at heart, no matter what it looked like. No matter how it came out or how you think it came out, I'm bigger. I'm bigger. I'm bigger. Brother Don, I just feel like God is you're His son. And He has positioned you. And I feel like the enemy has tried to put things sometimes in front of you that make it seem like, you know, is this ever going to work? Or, you know, I just feel like the enemy's talking. You know, he's a big mouth. But I saw the Lord's hand on your head. And the Lord said, I've ordained this. And there isn't a devil in existence that can stop what I'm doing. So He said, you're not doing it, son. I'm doing it. You're not doing it, son. I'm doing it through you. And I will have my way. And no devil and no devil's word has any power over what I'm doing. I will finish what I started. And He reminded me of the scripture that He saw the end from the beginning. And He wouldn't have put you on His path if He didn't already foresee your victory. I saw someone being released from the past. And what it looked like is your elbows were held back and the enemy was pulling your arms behind you and you were trying to move forward. You have a wonderful heart, but try though you may, you couldn't get free. And I don't know what that is, but in the name of Jesus, I break every stronghold, every holding back, every spirit that would hold back or diminish. I release you to move forward once and for all. And I break every assignment against you in the name of Jesus. And to some people, the Lord is saying, stop believing everything people tell you. Start to listen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
Begin to value the word I'm giving you, He says. I don't mean in this meeting. I mean as a lifestyle. When I give you a word, don't go consult with flesh and blood. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. I know. And I'm going to lead you and I'm going to guide you and I will always lead and guide you into victory. Amen. And I will hide you. I will hide you in the days when you need hiding. I will hide you in the shelter of my wings. I will protect you. I myself will do it because you're mine. Someone here, you've been fearful because of world events. You've been fearful about things. The Lord says to you, don't you know? Don't you know that I know how to take care of my own? I will protect you. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you because I love you. I've set my love upon you.
Calcium deposits and bone spurs. The Lord is healing right now. Touch the spot where your bone spur was or your calcium deposit was because it's gone.
In Jesus' name, I receive that. There's someone here, you've never had like spiritual experiences, and this has been kind of a new type of thing for you, being in the presence. And you're kind of like, how does that work? You know, and as we're talking about the lifestyle, you're like, I have no idea what to do with that. Because it's so new to. But I saw God meeting you where you're at. I saw you laying in your bed at night and the Holy Spirit just visiting you in a gentle way. And I saw your eyes were open. You were actually seeing some things He was teaching you, but by vision. He was teaching you. And I feel like He's saying, don't worry, I will help you. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, to help you. That's who I am. I know I said this yesterday, but I still feel like this is going on. Someone's walking out of your past in such a way that you'll never go back. Sometimes our past, it sets expectations. You know, every time I do this, that happens. In the past, every time I tried blah, 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 such and so happened. And you begin to expect and have faith for the way it's always been. Someone in here, you tried a business and it failed. So you feel like, well, I don't think I'm good at that. God is drawing a line and he's shutting a door. He's saying, your past will not. He is saying, I declare, your past will not determine your future. I'm determining your future. But I need you to stop looking back, stop looking over your shoulder, and look ahead. Look to me, because I've closed the door today. I've closed the door on the way it's always been. Even in some relationships where you've tried and it's felt like it's going to fail, God is saying, I'm changing things. But I need you to believe me. I need you to believe me. When I speak, I need you to believe that I'm good for it. I'm doing a new thing. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And I'm shutting a door on the way things have been. And I'm bringing you into newness of life. But you got to let me. And I need you to cooperate with me. Look ahead, not back. Don't look back at failures. Don't look back at how other people did things or what happened to you or any of that. Everything is new. Behold, I make all things new, and I'm bringing you into a new place, and it won't look the same. And so you'll have to learn how to operate. It'll be joyful. It'll be peaceful. It's full of light. It's a spacious place. I'm going to teach you how to do it in a new way. He said this the other day, but I hear him saying it again. I'm going to take you from being a naysayer to being a yay-sayer.
Hallelujah.
That when I say something, we go, yeah, he's good for that. He'll do that. Because when I say something, he says, when I say something, it is. When I say, let there be light, there is. And I'm speaking a new thing over you. I'm speaking a new thing over you. I'm speaking life to you. I'm speaking life to dead dreams. I'm resurrecting some things that you had given up on. I'm resurrecting some things in your life. There's someone in here, you've lost something and you just thought it was beyond hope. God says, I'm bringing that back. I'm restoring, even where hope was lost, I'm restoring. I'm restoring. There's someone whose son is far, far from God. And it seems like all hope is lost. It seems like they're so far gone, they want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with you. And they're removing in darkness, and it seems like they're enjoying darkness. It seems like they like darkness. God says, I'm doing a thing. I know how to make visitation. I know how to visit the dark places. And I have heard your prayers, and I have listened to your cries, and I've listened to your proclamations, and I'm doing something. I'm doing a thing in this day. I'm bringing people forth out of the dungeon of hell. Yes. I'm bringing people forth out of the dungeon of drug addiction, out of the drug of sex abuse, out of the drugs. I'm just bringing them out. I'm setting people free, and you'll be shocked. Some of you are going to be shocked. People you thought would never turn are going to turn.
That's right.
And they're going to be some of the strongest saints. They're going to end up to be the strongest because he was forgiven much, loves much.
Amen.
People who come out of heroin addiction can become some of the strongest saints that exist. People who come, there's people, someone here, you got kids that are addicted to gaming. I mean addicted, it's all they want to do. They sit in the dark and they game and they game and they game and they game and they get mad if you suggest they do something else. God is setting some people free. He says, I'm raising the dead. Someone here, you had a ministry and you just thought it was dead and buried. You just thought, well, I must have heard wrong, or I don't know. Maybe I took the wrong road. And you wept. I saw you in like the picture of the parable as you were at a graveyard, and you had a shovel and you had dug a grave and you had just let it go. And you'd buried the thing. And you said, God, I love you with all my heart, but I couldn't make it go. I love you with all my heart. You know I'd do anything for you, but I couldn't make this go. He said, I failed, and you actually said, I'm a failure. God wants you to understand, it's only ministries that have truly died that can be truly resurrected into resurrection power. Because if you'd have been able to make it go, you might have thought that it was your deal. You might have thought that you had some ability. You might have been tempted to think somehow you did something right. Sometimes God causes us to die to our ministry or even crucify it, bury it, cover it up, and jump up and down on the grave. So you want this thing, you raise it. You want this thing, you raise it. And God says, I'm in the business of resurrecting the dead. That's what I do. That's who I am. And it is not hard for me. One breath from my mouth, and that thing comes forth. But what you don't understand is that while it was buried, and you wept, and you died to it, and you walked away and said, oh well, I did my best. I failed. I did my best, but oh well. What you don't know is I did a thing in you as well. I did a thing inside you. There's some of you right now, you're not being able to minister in the way you love the most because of all the hoo-ha and the rules and the regulations, and you've been cut off from the thing you love the most. But God says, I'm not done. I'm not finished. And don't you think I'm finished. It's not over, he says. I want to say till the fat lady sings. I ain't sing yet. God says, I'm raising from the dead. There's dreams and hopes in here. There's dreams and hopes in here that have been buried, wept over, grieved over, and walked away from. And God himself will raise it. I saw God himself. He didn't send an angel. God himself came to the graveside and said, this is mine. And I will raise it. And everyone will know it's me. Everyone will know it's mine. And it will remain pure. Because you will always know that you couldn't do it. You tried. You tried your best and you couldn't make it happen. But because of what has happened, your heart has been purified. Your soul has been, there's been a purification process where you'll steward it, but you'll never own it. You'll steward it well, but you'll never take the credit. You'll steward it well, and you'll value the Most High as He ministers through your hands, your mouth. You see, it's a pure thing. It's a holy thing for God to minister through you, but you'll never touch the glory. You'll release the glory. Our job in the earth is to release the glory of an into earth. That's our job, all of us. But if we don't learn how to die to self and die completely, we might be tempted to think we somehow did something right. And that's why the death process is lovely in the sight of God. Some of you have a business that went through a death. See, Jesus said, unless a seed fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. He's talking about himself. See, he wanted to multiply himself to millions of people. And to do that, he had to die and be buried. And even his disciples had to kind of give up hope. I guess it's over. What now? He said, oh, I ain't done yet. I ain't done yet. I wasn't finished. And he says, I'm raising a thing from the dead, something you never thought you'd see again. But he said, when it comes forth, this time you'll know it's me. And this time you'll know it's holy and you'll treat it holy. And you'll steward it, and you'll love it, and you'll tend it, and you'll care for it. But you'll never own it, and you'll never try to. Because now you understand it's me in you. It's me doing it through you. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And there's a purity and a holiness and a heavenliness to it. There are some of you, you're called to release the fragrance of heaven. And you've done it in the past, but in the past it was kind of a thing, you know. It was fun to do. It's fun when we first learn how. You know, our flesh, it's fun to be used of God. It's fun, you know, to be, I'm just being honest, it's fun to be used of God. And, you know, it's fun to know that you got an anointing. That's fun. But that needs to morph into a higher thing where you carry the heart of God and you allow Him to move with perfection. And you just kind of watch. You know it ain't you, and you just kind of watch because it's holy. And as your heart is transformed into this holiness, what happens, God sees. He knows where we're at in our process. You know? He knows where we're at in our crucifixion process. Right? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. He knows where we're at in that. And one day he says, you know, by golly, I believe that one will never touch the glory. That one loves holiness but will never take the credit. That one is willing to love my people and put themselves last. That one is willing to let the people be blessed even if somebody else gets the credit. To even send somebody to somebody else's meeting if they might be more blessed there. Because they're more interested in the kingdom than their deal. And when God sees that, he says, now there's somebody I can flow through. What does it say? The eye of the Lord roams constantly through the earth, looking for somebody whose heart is wholly his, so that he can show himself strong in them. God's looking for somebody to reveal himself through. That's why the heart, the pipeline, the lifestyle, the love of God, that's why that's so important. That's why correction from God, it's not about being spanked. It's not about God's mad at you. It's because God has an unlimited blessing. And he wants you to have it. He's proud of you and he loves you. Don't ever be offended if God says, sweetie, change that. You got an attitude, change it. You believe in a lie, repent of it. Don't ever be offended. Say, yes, sir. Because I want to make room. I want to make room for the King. I said to God once, don't be done. I'm just talking a lot. Don't be done. I knew I had no ability to be used of God. I was about 25, 26. I wanted more. I loved God so much. I wanted to do something for him, and I knew I had zero to offer. I had no ability. I couldn't hold a conversation with people. I had no ability to witness. I said, I would do anything, Father, to see souls come into the kingdom. And I said these words, and I meant them. I will pay any price. I will die on any cross. I meant those words. And you know, when you say something like that to God, it's like heaven stops. It's like, what? What did that person say? Some years later, I was in travail. I was weeping, and God visited me, and he showed me a picture of me on a cross. And I knew it was not a physical death. He said, you want resurrection power? You love the glory. You love the presence, and you want to carry it. Will you die? Will Holly die? Will you die to your dreams, your deal, your stuff, your want-tos, your attitudes, inside and outside, the stuff inside and stuff? Will you die to all of it? Yes, sir. Yes, I will. Yes, sir. And it was like that day somebody pulled a plug and all kinds of stuff started happening in my life. And I didn't understand it, but I understood enough to know that God was changing who I was. He was changing who I was. And I remember in 1989, February, I said, Lord, I can't stand the way I am. I need you to change me. And I said, I want to be so different, it will be like being born again. I said, I want to be so changed, I won't remember what it was like to be me before. And at the beginning of a journey, was it hard? You bet. I had to die to a lot more, you know, because you don't even know all the junk that's in you. But what's happening is as you say, yes, sir, your will, not mine. Yes, sir, your will, not mine. Yes, sir, I'll be delivered of that. Yes, sir, I'll let go of that. Yes, sir. What happens is something's going on in you where he's preparing a vessel. He's preparing a vessel that was designed to carry the glory and not leak. He's preparing a vessel that can house and deliver. You understand? You already have covenant right to the glory and to carry it. But what he's looking for is somebody that's willing to carry it in holiness, in his kind of holiness. Some of you are being called right now. You can feel the pull on your heart. God told me to raise up disciples. For a long time, I didn't understand the specifics. I thought he meant teach people how to be prophetic, teach them how to know the Holy Ghost, teach them how to do the mechanics. He said, no, teach them how to die. Teach them how to put me before anything else. Teach them what dedication means. Teach them what it is to be a true disciple that says, you first, not me, Jesus. And he said, teach them that when they do that, I will give them everything that heaven affords. I want to bless my children. I want them to move in the glory. I want them to be used of God. I want them to be anointed. I want them to have all the capabilities and to move in all the things I moved in. I want that. I desire that. I yearn for that. But I won't be second. I won't be second to idols. I won't be second to affairs of the heart, adulteries of the heart, spiritual adultery, people cheating on me with, come on, think about Israel, idols in every high place. God called it harlotry. And there's a place in Ezekiel where it says his heart was shattered. When I read it, I said, I didn't know your heart could be broken. You're so solid. I knew you could be wounded, but his heart was shattered and broken in pieces because his bride, Israel, was cheating on him. And he said, not just with anybody, but with everybody that walks by. Everybody that passes by. And I'm going to tell you something. And there's no condemnation in this, but I'm going to tell you, in America, we've done just exactly that. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about the unbelievers. I'm talking about us in the church. We have loved stuff more than God. We've loved my deal, my ministry, I'm you, blah, 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 blah. And I'm guilty too. I did it when I was young. God had to kill that thing in me. I had to kill it. Kill it. Take it out back and shoot it. Hallelujah. Here's something we need to kill. I know more. I know better. Kill, if you're a control freak, kill that thing. Control is one of the worst forms of idolatry. And I wouldn't know to say this, but Joyce Meyer said, and I'm going to repeat it, she said, control freaks know they're controlling. And she said, the reason they're controlling is they've been wounded, and so what they do is say, I'll get you before you get me. You're not going to hurt me again, by golly. So I'm going to run this thing. And this is the way it's going to be, and that's control. What God showed me is a person who is controlling, it's the worst form of idolatry because they want to be God. Did you ever see two people? Two women, let's say. And one is needy and needs the other one to tell her what purse to buy and tell her where to go to church. And the other one just loves being the one that tells her. Just an example, but God said that's just a supreme example of idolatry because one is saying, I want you to be God, not him. And the other one's saying, I want to be God to you. Come on. We need to quit trying to run stuff and run people and manage everything. And I know most of y'all aren't controllers, but there's a couple in here you haven't dealt with this. And it's an idol, and you need to cut its throat. You need to stop being smarter than God and smarter than everybody else. You're not. Okay? Sometimes, you know, when you're prophetic, you got to say what he says in the way he says it. Hallelujah. Not always very popular. Do you have anything on your heart?
I didn't see it, I felt it. Somebody has a cyst on their left ovary, and right now I command that thing to dissolve. It's actually caused you fear, a little bit of worry, and God says it's nothing. And so we command it to dissolve right now in the name of Jesus. Be made whole. And then I saw something else. Oh, yeah. Addiction. There's a few people in here that are addicted to medications. you have abused them. And some of you, let's see, Lord, how should I say this? Okay, some have abused it for sleeping purposes and others for coping purposes. It doesn't matter the reason, but God wants to deliver you right now from that. So right now I release you from that bondage of addiction in Jesus' mighty name. Also, there's a few people that have cried out for deliverance from smoking. And if that's you, God's going to release you right now from the spirit of addiction as well. So we command that thing to go in the name of Jesus, loose off and never return in Jesus' name. And then if that's you and you were a smoker, take a deep breath in of the Holy Ghost right now in faith. Amen.
Amen. I saw someone that you struggle with on the computer, and you didn't mean to, but you know, these days you got to be real careful where you click. And accidentally you got kind of sucked into it, and then it just became a thing, and you've tried to walk away and come back and walk away and come back. And God's not mad at you, okay? But He wants to set you free. And I felt like He was giving, listen, God loves you, okay? None of us are perfect. We've all had our stuff, okay? We've all had issues. And God's not mad, but He wants to help you with that because it hurts your soul, it hurts your spirit, man. And what He said is, Friel, I want you to go on a little fast, but it's not a food fast. I want you to fast from the computer for a while. I want you to fast it from anything that has an opening or a window, a window into anything that's unclean. I want you to fast from it for a while, okay? And I want you to, you know, sometimes when you proclaim a fast, the fact that you proclaim it helps you to keep that fast. And, you know, there's been times when God has told me, fast the media, just completely fast the news and any form of media. And I said, then you bring me whatever I need to know, you know, to pray, because we pray. But what I found is if you have too much media input, you get a little nuts. You know, did you ever see a Christian, you know, well, fast, turn the thing off, for pity's sake. And so God is not mad, but He wants to deliver you because you're a man that I'm talking to. You're a strong man, and God has ordained strong things for you. And that thing is worse, in my opinion, from what I've seen in my life. Pornography is more addictive than heroin. It does something to the mind. And I've seen it up close, more up close and personal than I'd like to, okay? And I don't ever want to see it again. God says, I have something so much better for you. And I know that I understand there's natural urges, and He's by no means condemning you, but He does want you free. And He wants you free because He has such a blessing for you. You're a strong man of God, and it's just not for you, okay? He loves you. It's not for you. There's someone in here, a woman, you are kind of a hand wringer, you know. And you feel like, if only this, then I'd be happy. Oh, and you're wringing your hands. If only this would happen, then I'd be happy. And God says to you, I love you, but can't you be happy with me? Am I not enough for you? Remember Samuel's mom and dad, remember? He had two wives. And I think his name, you guys can correct me, Phanuel or Panuel or something like that. He had two wives, and he loved Samuel's mom more. But the other wife kept having babies, right? And she was barren. And he said this to her, am I not more to you than many children? And whoever this woman is, I'm not sure if it's that you want to be married, you want to have a kid, but God says, am I not more to you? Can you not find more in my heart of love for you? It doesn't mean He won't give it to you, but He does want to be first. And if that's an idol to you, if that's something you... see, here's how you know an idol. If only I had that, then I'd be happy. Ding, ding, ding. That's a signal that that's an idol. See, I don't need anything to be happy. Nothing. Because I have everything. I have Him.
Yeah.
Therefore, everything.
Amen.
I don't have to have anything, any type of relationship or home. See, God... He wants to be our all in all. And our relationship to be so close that He is our joy. And He is our happiness. And we can drink anytime we want from the well of God and find joy and peace and rest. And if we put that first, we put Him first, He'll add all that other stuff.
He'll add all those other things to you. He'll give you relationship. He doesn't mind that. He'll give you the house, the career, the kid. He'll give you anything. But he won't do it if that's first. I will have no other gods before me. He is a jealous God. And this is a day where we need to shuck our idols.
Amen.
Burn them. And he says this, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. You get rid of your idols, I'll tend to you. You tend to me, I'll tend to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, I feel like we're done. Both of us got like, done. Well, we love you so much. You're very precious in God. Tomorrow morning we'll have send-off. And generally what we've done in the past is have teams, four teams usually, of anointed people that will pray so everybody gets personal prayer. So if I know there's a couple people that can't come back tomorrow, I just want to say again how deeply thankful I am that you came. It was a God thing, and it's done my heart good that you guys came.
You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.